My Bible, it is the word of truth. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. I am humble before the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I am mature in the Lord. I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on. Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Every now and then we can have a praise dilemma where somebody don't know whether I should I praise him or should I not. But I just dropped by today to tell you, make up in your mind that you're going to give him some praise. Make up in your mind that you're going to give him the glory. Make up in your mind that you're going to honor him, worship him, and exalt him in all that you do. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to your name, God. 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 He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey. Oh, it's good to be able to give the Lord praise, to be able to just worship him. Hallelujah. 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 Yay. Yes. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Yeah, 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 yeah. Our scripture text. Hallelujah. Comes from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah was standing before the people, and the Bible said, and Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? How long will you falter? Should I praise? Should I not? Should I clap? Should I not? Should I pat my feet or should I not? Should I say hallelujah or should I not? Should I cry just a little bit or should I not? How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. You got a choice. God just wants you to make a choice. Follow whichever one you want to follow, but make a But the Bible said, but the people answered him not a word. So that means that there are a lot of indecisive people in the world today. When it's time to make a decision, they say not a word. You may be seated. Well, this is going to be our second sermon in this series that we simply entitled The Dilemma. I said during our last series where we talked about distinguished and standing before God, standing out for God, I ran across this passage or this episode with Elijah and the people, and I thought I was going to be able to fit it in that series, but my spirit couldn't fit it in. And as I was putting those notes away, I told you that I read that passage again, and the Lord shifted my focus from Elijah to the gut-wrenching and thought-provoking question that he challenged the people with. How long will you falter between two opinions? So that led me to this simple little title that the Lord dropped in my spirit was The Dilemma. And I told you that a dilemma is a problem or situation in which a difficult choice has to be made between two alternatives, sometime more. And I said, you know, in life we often face dilemmas with situations where we have to make a choice between two alternatives. Sometimes these dilemmas are complex in nature, and choices can often involve conflict with our values, our ethics, and our responsibilities, and sometimes even our desires. And so last week I shared with you some dilemmas. I'm just going to hit a couple of them real quick just to refresh your memory, and then I'll share a couple more that people face every day. Maybe not you, but somebody is going through various types of dilemma. Last week I talked to you about the remote work versus office work dilemma. Y'all know that one? Then I said the vaccination dilemma. Should your children get shots or not? The parenting style dilemma. The church attendance dilemma. Then the social media privacy dilemma. How much of your juicy stuff should you put out there? That's a dilemma for some folks. And when their likes go down, they make a choice to put more content out there that may be not pleasing to God. So today we're just going to just briefly mention some other dilemmas that people are facing. There's some people that's facing what I call the home buying dilemma. Having to make a choice between renting from someone else or buying your own home. When you get ready to make that decision, you look at the interest rate, the mortgage payments, and all that. But sooner or later, you got to make a choice. Either you're going to be a renter for the rest of your life, or you're going to buy a house. Amen. Then there's the healthy eating dilemma. You know, I know we feel that one. Having to choose between eating food that is nutritionally good for us versus eating food that maybe tastes good but have an adverse impact on our... That's a dilemma. Chocolate cake can be a dilemma for somebody. Ice cream and cookies can be a dilemma. 5 pieces of fried chicken can be a dilemma. Spinach. I can feel some of y'all right there. You see? A dilemma. And then there's what I call the friendship versus honesty dilemma. Having to choose between telling a friend the truth about a difficult situation or sparing their feelings by not disclosing it. Some of y'all just don't know how to tell your friends the truth. And for you, that's a dilemma. The community service versus personal time dilemma. Having to choose between volunteering to help out in church or in the community or spending time on personal hobbies and relaxation. For some, yesterday, that could have been a dilemma. Yeah, because we had a lot of volunteers out here that made a choice to come out and serve the community. Amen. Now today, we're going to see that when we have dilemmas and we fail to make a decision, it can cause us to struggle with double-mindedness. Somebody say double-mindedness. Double-mindedness is a state of being uncertain or indecisive about something or having conflicting thoughts or desires. See, double-mindedness often causes people to waver, to vacillate, and hesitate instead of making a... The Greek word for double-mindedness is dipsychosis. Di meaning two. Psychosis means having to do with your mind or your soul. So it means to have two minds or two souls. I hope none of y'all walked in here today with two minds. Two souls. Because we're going to see here that the Bible has something to say about it when we have two minds. You know, it often describes someone who is trusting in God while at the same time trusting in something else or the world. Somebody say double-mindedness. And so today I want you to see that at the end of the day, you're going to have to make up in your mind whether you're going to trust God or trust the world. Trust God or trust your own instincts. Trust God, trust your own under. See, in James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, and I'll get there in a minute, but let me talk about it. James talks about this double-mindedness when he was encouraging those who were lacking wisdom to ask God for it. He described the ones who ask God and doubt as an indecisive person. In other words, there were people who were asking God for something, but they were not believing that God could do what they was. And he saw this as when people are wavering between God and having faith in him, or saying that you have faith in God, but really not believing. And he said that person who operate like that, they lack wisdom, but at the same time, they need to understand where they got to get the wisdom from. And so the dilemma here was that James had described this person as being unstable in all their ways, indicating that their entire life was lived without a complete trust in God. Now, just before this, he was letting them know that when trials and troubles, somebody say trials and troubles, when trials and troubles come in your life, they really got a purpose. Amen. Because he said that they come to test your faith. And when your faith is tested, it gives you endurance and patience that you need to grow. But sometimes when our endurance is fully developed, the Bible says we need God's wisdom to help us understand it. Because sometimes in our natural mind, it don't make sense to count it all joy when you're going through a trial, when you're going through a struggle, when you're going through a challenge. It don't make sense. But the Bible says, count it all. And what happens is, in order to be able to count it all joy, you're going to have wisdom that come from God and not your own under. Because if you try to figure out some of the things that you're going through with your own mind, you're going to be double-minded. In one mind, you're going to say, I'm going to trust God. In the next mind, you're going to say, I don't even understand where I'm at. Then that's when you ask for wisdom for God to show you, to reveal some things to you. And so he was trying to let these people know that if you're going to ask God for something, you better ask in faith, but you can't waver once you... Verse 5 says this, and James chapter 1 says, if any of you, somebody say any of you, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally. He want to give it to you. and without reproach. In other words, he's not going to hold it against you because you're asking him for something that he got. So therefore, if you're lacking it, ask him. And the Bible says, and it will be given. So there's no reason for us to walk through this earth and in this world relying on worldly wisdom when God has told us we can ask him for godly. But he says this, Brother Moles, but let him ask in what? You just can't be asking and throwing words out your mouth and your heart and your mind is not in sync together. Because faith is more than just you talking and more than just you meditating. Faith also comes with action. So therefore, when you ask God for something, you got to believe that he can answer and give you what you're asking for, and then you got to act like it. Y'all better hear me today. He says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Somebody said, no doubting. Doubt is what overshadows your faith. If you're going to ask him for it, believe that you got it before you see it. Start acting like. Look what he says, Wayne. He says, for he who doubts is like a wave on the sea, of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You can just go out to the beach and see this principle. You know, I go to the beach almost every other Sunday, just to walk. And I ain't never seen that water calm out there where no waves not coming to the shore. Some days they're just bigger than other days, but it's always waves. The water is always unstable. When you don't operate in faith, you just like that water out there in the Gulf. For an object lesson, just go out there this afternoon. You ain't got nothing to do. Just look at it. And just watch them come and go. Come and go. And you say, Lord, is that me? Come and back and then when we get like that, Jacques, he says, now look. In verse 7, it says, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. As long as you come and go, you ain't going to receive nothing from the Lord. Sooner or later, you're going to have to get stable and stand on your faith and believe what this word say. He says, for let not that man suppose that he receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable. Somebody say, oh, not some of your ways, in all your ways. And so what it's saying, look, man, when we get unstable, that means one day we'll be walking with the Lord, the next day we'll be walking with the world. One day we'll be, you know, talking like we got some sense. Next day we'll be cussing folk out. Amen. You know, one day we'll be sober. Next day we don't have too much. Unstable. I ain't say you couldn't drink it, just can't have too. Too much, unstable. One day you're praying, and next day, I know I'm going to get quiet right there. Well, let me go back to the natural. One day you eat right, Major, and the next day, the chicken just overtake you. Fried chicken at that. You know what I mean? Not baked, a broth. I know Major, but Major ain't going to go there. Major ain't waving right there. Brother John said that's him waving on that chicken. But my point is that sooner or later, you're going to have to get some stability in your life. You can't live life like the waves coming to the shore out in that gulf. Sooner or later, you're going to have to trust this word and trust God at his word, and then do what the word say do. And trust God for the outcome. Now, later in chapter 4 in James, he encouraged his readers to purify their hearts because he called them double-minded people. And James was calling for these Christians, because he's talking to believers, to make an unwavering commitment to trust in God and his ways while denying their own ways, which was causing them to trust in themselves and the world. See, the world is causing a lot of people in the church a dilemma. The church has got a dilemma with the world. We want the people to come into the church from the world, but we don't know how much of the world to bring into the church to meet those people. So therefore, we got a dilemma. How much do I bring into the world into the church so that I can attract the world? It's a dilemma. Should we wave surf in church so that the world can feel comfortable? It's a dilemma. Pastor may want y'all to get up here one Sunday morning and walk it out. Because it's a dilemma. I want that person who just came out the club last night to be able to relate to something in the church. But how much of the world should I bring in the church? It's a dilemma. You know, praise dances ain't like praise dances no more sometimes. You know, sometimes you just watch on YouTube and online, you see just praise dance, just locking and dropping in. Twerking, backing it up. Somebody say, it's a dilemma. The church got a dilemma. The church don't know how to reach the world without becoming light. Wayne, it's a dilemma. And you know, sometimes we have to make up our mind just how much of the world we're going to let in the church. I know it's tough. I know it's tough. We want the young people. We want them to come. We want them to feel like they are welcome. But at the same time, they don't need to see Pastor dropping it. Even though Pastor may think he can still drop it. He can twerk it out, back it up. The world don't need to see me do that. Them young folk don't need to see me do that, to feel like that's how they got to find Jesus, because I went to Striving and Pastor Bolden. Pastor Bolden was twerking up there, man. The boy, I can relate to that twerking. He was just, woo! Look what James have to tell these folks. Look here. And I'm in chapter 4 now, because he realized that there were some double-minded people there who was in the church, but they was trying to do two things at once. He had been talking to them about how they could not think that they could be friends with the world and be friends with God at the same time. So at some point in time, he was trying to let them know that they had to make up in their mind who they was going to submit to, you know. And so in verse 7 and 8 of chapter 4, he says, therefore, submit to God. Somebody says, submit to God. He says, submit to God. I'm going to read this from two translations, New King James and the New Living. He says, therefore, submit to God. Resist. Somebody say, resist. That means fight. Uh-huh. Amen. You're going to have to fight the devil. You're going to have to put up a resistance when it comes to the enemy. Because God make you a promise. He said, look, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you put up a fight, he'll leave you alone. But if you don't put up a fight, he's going to have you doing what he do. So the church got to learn how to put up a and trust God to bring people in. If you just put up a, we don't have to compromise God's word. We just need to put up a fight for God's word. We need to stand on God's word and then trust the word to get the outcome that you want. Somebody said, you got to put up a fight. He said, now look, resist the devil and he will flee. If he's not running from you, it's because you're not ready. He don't really want to fight you. But he fights you because he know you're not going to rear. He's like the bully. The bully don't normally pick on the kid that's going to put up a. Even if he may be able to beat that kid. But once that kid fight back, the bully going to go on to another target that's going to be easier could be. Y'all better hear me today. It's time for some of us to just fight back. Amen. It's time for us to resist the devil. And he will. It's time for us to stop running for our life. When you ought to be standing and fighting for certain things in your life. Amen. Now look, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God. If you come to God, God will meet you. He'll come to you. Just think about the parable of the prodigal son. When the prodigal son came to his senses and started coming back home, his dad did not wait till he got home. His dad saw him from a distance. His dad met him on the way home. God will meet you on your way back to him. All you've got to do is make up in your mind that you're going to draw near. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. In other words, you know, symbolizing that you got to get rid of some things. You know, when you wash your hand, you know, you come in, you've been working in the yard, you got all that dirt on your hand. When you get through washing your hand, you don't expect to see the same. So when you look at your life and God said, cleanse yourself, you don't want to look at you 5 years ago and then now today you look at you and see the same. Oh, I know that wasn't going to go over too good right there. He said, look here, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Well, you know, Jesus died so we can cleanse our. Then he says, purify your hearts, you double. And you got to get your heart right. But look what the New Living says. It says, so humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Good God Almighty. Our loyalty is being divided between God and the world. He brought us out of the world to himself, but he didn't take us out of the world. We are still in the world, but we are not of the world. So therefore, now I got to be able to navigate myself through this world that God brought me out of because he put me back out there. Now I got to know how to work my way through that world without compromising who I am in the Lord. And the only way we can do that is we can't do it if we are double, where we are still divided between the world and the church. Let the church be the church. Amen. I mean, there ought to be a little distinction between the church and the world. I mean, a person who walk in here out of the club from last night, just walking here today, man, they shouldn't walk in here and thinking they're walking right back in the studio 54. I mean, they shouldn't just feel like, I just walked right back in the studio 54. They just got Bibles in their hand. But everything we did last night, and I'm dating myself because I don't even know if Studio 54 is still good, but back in the disco days, Studio 54 was the popping place back in New York, you know. If I want Studio 54, whatever that is, okay? But sooner or later, you got to get some of the studio out of you. Amen. Your dance got to get a little holy with it. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with you. No, I ain't right. You can still rock. I used to rock the boat when I was, that's all I could do. You know, I just don't add all them other moves when I rock like I used to rock, you know what I mean? But I still got a little rock. But that's what I did in club. Rock, steady, rock. But the rock got a little hole in that way. The rock got a line over what God would be pleased with. I can't grind and rock. I know y'all, let me talk over here. Because, well, where did that grind? He did like grind. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You just. You don't have to have your hips in that much action to praise God. Lord, have mercy. That's why I say you got to purify your heart, man. And then, because if you don't, man, you're going to always have this division in you between God and the world. Man, the world is so influential now, man. They're getting us with all kinds of subliminal messages now. You know, before you know it, you're doing some of the same thing you said you never do because you see it so often. Everywhere you turn, that is. You know, I ain't going to do that. But then all of a sudden, the world gets that little message in you. And you don't have a filter to stop some of this stuff from getting into your spirit. And then before you know it, you're acting like the world again. And then you come to church on Sunday and you're conflicted. You got a dilemma. You really want to praise the Lord, but you're feeling kind of guilty for how you acted before you. And all of the Lord is asking us to do is not to be double. Don't be double-minded. Because you don't want to look like you're unstable in all your ways. You know, the psalmist, man, he said, this was just a short blurb in Psalms 119, verse 113. The psalmist let us know how he felt about double-minded people. And he's talking about those who are not fully trusting the Lord with their whole heart. They were wavering back and forth because they had divided loyalties and they were indifferent to God, to good and evil. And the psalmist say this, and some believe that he may be even including himself in this rebuke because, you know, he was talking as if, Sister Jacquees, that he was dealing with a person who come to church and act like they're on fire for the Lord, but then they leave church and act with a double mind. And he was saying he had a certain way he felt about folk who acted like, I mean, he used some strong language here. And I tried to break the language down to soften it up, say, did he really mean that? But he really meant he got a strong dislike. Y'all want me to read this? Yes. Is it all right? Yes. It is in the Bible, so is it all right? Because yes. I just don't, it ain't for you, it's for your friend. Amen. It's for your friend, it ain't for you, it's for your friend. Look at this. And I'm in verse 113. The Bible says, I hate the double minded. Now, he could have been talking about himself. But he says, now look, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. In other words, I hate the double-minded, even myself, who act like they're going to follow your law, but then don't follow your law. And therefore, I hate the double-minded, but in my conflictedness, I still say I love the Bible say I ought to praise you, I ought to worship you, I ought to magnify you. I love that. But at the same time, I hate doing exactly what I say. I love prayer. I love meditating. I love showing love to other people because God says do that. His instructions say do that. But then sometimes I don't do the very thing that it says I should. So therefore, we put ourselves in that category where he says, I hate the double mind. Hate is a strong word. It is a strong word. I like to use there's a strong dislike for. But sometimes you ought to have that sound strong dislike for yourself. Amen. 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 Not for nobody else. Don't look at this and paint somebody else's picture next to it. I got Bolden right there next to it in my Bible, just me. So you need to put your name right there. Amen. I hate the double mind. Right. But I love your law. I love your word. I love what it say. I love the fact that your Bible say, do not steal. Amen. I love the fact that the Bible say, don't commit a. I love that. The Bible say, don't gossip. I love that, but I hate it when I do. All right. Amen. That's real. Don't y'all see? So, therefore, I can't say I love what the Bible says about gossip, and then when I do it, Don't hate it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Because we're all guilty of some of those things that we say we love. And we look at God's word and say, God, I love you for saying that, but there's something in me that's conflicted. I got a dilemma because I do some of the very things. You know, Paul had that conflict. The thing that I should do, I don't do. There's something in me. There's something that's pulling me one way or the other, telling me to do the very thing that I say I love that's based on your word. Oh, God, y'all got to help me today. But Solomon kind of gives us an out when he wrote in the Proverbs that we're going to have to allow trust to override everything else when it comes to our relationship with God. Because until you can truly trust him, you're never going to get over that dilemma that you're going to have. The world is not going away. Problems in your life is not going away. Trials, troubles, tribulation, they coming. But the thing is, when they come, do you trust him? Do you trust him enough to be able to find joy in the midst of your sorrow? To find peace in the midst of a storm? It all comes down to how much you trust him. Because if you don't trust him, that part of your mind that can relate to the world gonna go back and do what the world would do in that situation and not what the word say. So in Proverbs, very familiar passage, Solomon was encouraging us to help us and to keep us from being double-minded. He encouraged us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And see, we got to trust in him as we navigate our way through life and through this world. Because as long as you live, the world is going to present you with situations and problems and challenges where you're going to have to make a difficult choice. But in those times, you're going to have to make up in your mind that you're going to trust God and his word. And you're going to have to do what his words say do, because you say, I love your instructions. I love your word. Now, this is how it's said in the New Living Translation. I'm going to read it also from the Amplified Translation, then I'll be done. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all, somebody say all, with all your heart. And do not depend on your own. In other words, you know, your own intellect, your own intelligence, your own insight, your own wisdom, your own judgment. And you know, Moses, I ran across a big word that I had never seen before. For your own understanding. Sagacity. I thought that was nice. I would like to, you know, just fit that into my vocabulary. You know, don't trust your own sagacity. I broke it down in a little syllable so I say it right, because I know some of y'all are scholars in here. That word just roll off y'all lips. It just roll off y'all lips. But that's the first time I ever used that word, so I got to be careful with it. Make sure I say it at least close, Brother JP, because somebody will hold that against me. And all I'm trying to do is just introduce a new word into our conversation. Sagacity. S-A. G-A-C-I-T-Y. Has to do with your own. Don't let your understanding. Some of y'all intelligent folks say, oh, yeah, Pastor, I know that word. You know, I got a chance to use it. Okay. He says, so don't depend on your own understanding. Look here. Seek him, seek his will in all you do. And he will show you which path to take. He will show you how to make up your mind and what decision you should make in the midst of your dilemma. But you can't go into that situation with your own mind, going to do it your own way. You're going to have to trust him. Somebody said you got to trust him. I like the way the Amplified Bible kind of says it like this. It says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord Lean on. You know, I start thinking about that word lean on. You know, you can't lean on you. You know, sooner or later, you keep leaning on you, you're going to fall. So when you get this point in your life, you got to lean on something else. Amen. And when that something else ought to be the Lord. Yes. So I'm going to lean on the Lord and not to my own leaning, not to my own understanding, not to my own way of doing things. I'm going to trust his way and lean on. Y'all better hear me today. He says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. I like the way they did that and amplified, because they broke both those things up together. Because a lot of times we see the word heart in the Bible by itself, we think it's just talking about the thing that thump, 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 beat, beat, beat. But the Bible in heart is more, talking about more than your blood pumper. Amen. Sometime in other places, that heart is talking about your mind as well. It is your mind that, it is not your thumper right here that's causing you the problem with your dilemma. It's what's up. So be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight and or understanding. Sagacity. Do not rely on your own sagacity. Bam. Yeah. Could have cut that out. Cut them last two words out right there, own insight and understanding. Your own sagacity. But then we all have to go look it up, like me. So I'm glad the Amplified just made it plain for us. Amen. Do not rely on your own insight or understanding. See, a lot of y'all come to church, come to the Lord with your own insight, your own understanding, your own way of solving problems, your own way of doing things. And so therefore, when you come to him and say you're going to trust his law and trust his word and live by his word, then that means you got to put your own way of doing things to the side. And if your own way of doing things, Brother Maurice, line up with him, then guess what? You keep doing what you're doing. But wherever there is a conflict, you got to go with him. If not, you're going to be double. Is this making any sense to anybody? He said, now look in verse 6, and I'm done. He says, in all your ways, somebody, all your ways. In all your ways, the Bible, they use about three words here that almost mean the same thing. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him. And he will direct and make straight and plain your path. In other words, if you lean on him, you trust in him, and you realize that all your help and everything you need come from the Lord, then guess what? You got to believe that he's going to put you on the right path. When you standing there at the crossroad trying to go this way, that way, that way, if you stand there long enough and just not lean on your own understanding, he will tell you which path you need to take that you can have the best results for your life. But in order to do that, you got to trust him. Because if you don't trust him, then your own mindset will tell you, well, this path looks the best because I can see more of it than I can see the other. So therefore, I'm going to go based upon how I see things instead of what God sees. And so when I walk by faith, I don't walk by sight. I trust him and believe that every time I make a step, he's going to show me the next step that I need to make. But he's waiting on me to make a decision. Got to make a decision. You got a dilemma. You got to make a decision. Faith calls us to want to make the right decision and trust in God. Now, I think I hear Adrian play this little song a lot, and I always blow it off. But then my cousin sent me this song the other day, and it kind of touched me because it was talking about trusting in the Lord. And I said, okay, Marcus, will you play that? And I just want y'all to get into a spirit and say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. Because you're not going to be successful in this relationship with God if you don't trust him.